Off the Ball Breakfast.
I have not seen a minute of this tournament.
That's what the cool kids say these days.
Genuinely
haven't. Everyone's saying that. I haven't seen a second of it.
It's not a thing. It hasn't even...
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
We say good morning to Arthur. Arthur, how are you?
Hello, Ger.
And to Matthew Brennan. Matthew, how are you?
Ger, how's it going?
I'll do the newspapers first, and then we can start talking about some of the big issues. To start with, the Examiner provincial pointers finishing fourth or fifth in Munster, no deterrent to All Ireland bid the year after. You always got to be playing the long game here. This isn't the trilogy or repeat final we were expecting, was it? Says Kieran Shannon, pointing out that everybody really had assumed that it was going to be a Limerick-Cork tussle.
That's what everyone wanted, you know.
Your mentions must have been full of Tipperary people yet. Or were they too excited?
No.
It's Tuesday, they're waking up and going, hang on a second, I've got to get Arthur. I think you
overestimate my infamy, to be honest with you.
Oh no, there's a a core of the Tipperary or the Premier View forum that's like, Limerick. Hey, where are you?
Where did I see it? Because it wasn't my... I saw someone make the comment about it. It's like... I don't think I'm necessarily wrong.
Go on.
Just because Tipperary have gotten to this point.
When you were like blithely dismissive of Tipperary's chances.
For sure. They're definitely better than I thought coming into the year. But I don't think all of a sudden they're the second best team in the country.
You still think there's a chance they get hammered in the final?
Oh, yeah. No, and that's not a slight against them. That's not a slight against them. That's no more than Cork in 21 against Limerick, where it was like, oh, you know, when they kind of were a bit of a surprise emergence in that final, and you're just coming up against a team that's way too well primed. I don't think that's a slight against them. That doesn't mean they can't come back next year, or like Cork have come back twice since into finals and been a better team. But I do think it's one of them. It's, you know, like a few of those Dublin finals as well. Cork aren't that Dublin football team, but that same thing where you're like, oh, you know, on paper, it's like, this looks all right. It's like, no, wait, this is a whole different beast. It could happen. I'm not saying it. I hope. I'd be delighted if Tipperary, just for all sorts of reasons, would be delighted.
Finish that sentence, go on.
if they were to win, it'd be an amazing story.
You've switched, and when I say you, I mean Limerick Hurling supporters have switched allegiance and now they're pro Tip.
It depends where your kind of origins lie in the county, really.
If there was a possibility of the nuclear bomb arriving just after, just before full time.
Nuclear
bomb is impending.
It's Dr. Strangelove. That was my immediate thought. I could see Tipperary, they could win by 2, they could lose by 12, and I would not be too surprised by either one. And again, that's not a slight against them. It's just you're coming up against a team that's kind of looking like it's peaking towards its powers. Like, that it's really... I think we could all agree that if we're in here on the Monday morning afterwards and Cork have lost, it's a far more interesting discussion than if... unexpected discussion than if Cork have won fairly comfortably. Or even a classic. It doesn't matter. I think if Cork have won, it's a far less outlandish thing. It makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. Back-to-back finals, learn everything from last year. Come on, this year, you've improved.
Age profile is good.
Yeah, injury it kind of makes... Exactly.
Nearly incredible. I mean, there's still doubts about Harnedy, but he happens to be playing in the position of the field where they appear to have the most depth.
And they've already been tested in that regard. Like, they were missing a few players for the Munster final, came through it. You know, the Cork winning the All-Ireland is the most natural story at this stage. Whereas Tip... You try and think back. I'm trying to think back on those kind of ones where a team just sort of comes from nowhere.
It's a bit of like a Tyrone football type thing about it. Like whenever they've won anything recently.
Yeah.
That year they won it when they beat Mayo in the final. It was a bit kind of slightly out of blue, although obviously they've been good under Edge.
So I don't know. What do you think is going to happen?
Honestly, the most likely thing is that Cork put on one of those signature performances, right? That's what you... would say is of a sequence. However, the thing that's given me cause to doubt is that Niall Callaghan was very... We took a chance. It backfired. And I don't think Tipperary will take the same chance. Listening to Taggy Fogarty yesterday, he was talking about the homework that Tip had done, you know, their ability to pull Hugh Lawler out of the full back line and create space in there. And that seems like part of that is down to Kilkenny's errors, but also part of it is down to the cleverness within the Tipperary camp. I expect Tipperary to provide a challenge. I expect them to do things that Cork probably haven't seen that much of. Now, at the same time, I do think there's a combination of pace, power and skill with this Cork team that is different from all of the other collections that we have. I think they're the fastest team we've seen in a while. And
very hard to stop.
There's only so much you can do about that, really, isn't there?
Yeah.
Like, well, there's only so much planning you can do to stop pace and power. Like,
well, you can crowd the area.
Yeah.
And make sure that everybody's very disciplined in... that's one way of doing it. And I suppose it's a question that we can ask everybody that we have over the next 2 weeks. What do you do about that? And you try and create the space that your... That Dublin gave Cork that space, which I think if they were to sit through it again, we'd be like, probably won't do that. But at the same time, like, Dublin created loads of chances. You know, there was two other goal chances that they had. If that one in the first half actually goes in and it's a bit more seesaw, it would have been interesting to see.
It's an interesting year as well where the All-Ireland, I won't go so far to say All-Ireland champions elect, where the All-Ireland favourites have also suffered a 16-point loss in that year. Like, you know, that it's that, there's clearly not, you don't want to go too far the other way. Like, you're not trying to talk them down, but there's clearly a vulnerability there that you can, that can be exploited. No two ways about it.
Looking at the press yesterday, he said, or was it Saturday, he said that they picked too many players who were carrying a bit of a knock heading into that game. Now, obviously, we don't know that.
Yeah.
Before throw-in, it's like five of those players haven't trained all week or whatever it was. Mm. And that's how they were able to rationalise that?
Ah, yeah. They'll find, like, it's not... It's when you break it down, really, in the end of it, it's such a short championship that I think we probably get so hung up on questions of form and everything else that it's not, it's kind of almost every game is an individual one in and of its merits. And I think there's probably a degree that you can then rationalise anything that happens. And it was funny when obviously Seamus Flanagan was on last week that it kind of, you know, when you have that win and it's like, it has that potential to mask things, even though it's like, it really doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things whatsoever.
And they can just draw a line directly underneath and say, well, that's not us, obviously, forget about it, we'll try. I know these are said and done, but
makes no sense.
Well, is a 7-goal salvo in a semi-final a similar draw line through that?
Oh, like, I don't think Tipperary would have looked at that or will look back at that with any, I don't think it'll influence the way they think whatsoever. I it's not, again, I think there's a one-off aspect to it, but I think that you have a case there where if you look at, so in the grand scheme of things, right, we're looking at it very specifically. We're like, what's your Dublin bet Limerick 2 weeks ago? It's like, okay, they probably won't beat Cork and should put up a good challenge. When realistically, if you were to look at over a 4 or 5 year spell, there's nothing to suggest that Dublin should come at all close to a Cork team that has probably had optimal preparation to everything else. All things being equal, who would you, were you surprised when you saw that happen? No, not remotely. But it's just because of that very short-termism look at things that we like from week to week. It's like, oh, well, it makes sense. And we have to kind of, we have to convince ourselves sometimes as well that there are chances of upsets. But like, I suppose more often than not, it's just exactly what you expect happens.
Okay. You're kind of getting into the rest of the football there. There's a story in the Irish Independent, but it's only online. Oh no, there it is. There, yeah. Mayo apologised to McStay. So Mayo GAA have apologised for the statement announcing the dismissal of Kevin McStay and his backroom team, saying it was never intended to cause offence. You're like, did anybody read it back and go, well, how do you think this is going to sound to, let's get a quote from Kevin, will we? Let's pay tribute to his incredible career. Now, the original statement issued on June 25th, stating that a decision was made to relieve Kevin McStay and his management team from their roles. It's not even properly grammatically correct. I'm relieving you from something.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's true, actually.
With the Mayo senior football team with immediate effect. Immediate effect. We're tough, thrusting, young capitalists. that was the general sense from the. And then it's like, oh. The statement was constructed by Mayo GAA's Cush de Banishti. there got thrown under the bus, the entire committee. It was not to the standard aspired to by the board.
Okay, interesting.
Strange phrase.
Exactly. We let
strange.
Ourselves down here and we've learned our lesson. Lessons will be learned.
Standards aspired.
The removal of the senior management team was not unprecedented in Mayo or any other county. No, it's not. It's like it's totally fine to remove.
No one's questioning the
exactly.
Yeah, what's actually happened. The act is totally normal. Yeah.
And we apologise for that, but not really.
I think they were the Andy McIntyre leaving Antrim in the same night and so warm. We would always welcome Andy back to Antrim, but really didn't help them either. You know, it kind of emphasised how cold the statement actually was.
A similar situation after Tony McIntyre left Sligo.
Yeah.
You know, who these guys have obviously a lot shorter
They've no
stories.
Connection outside of the past 2 years, really, you know. Yeah.
Oh, God. But it'll... do you think that concerns anyone going in? Do you think it's still such a big job that it's like, sure, look, it doesn't matter, I don't care, whatever the county board or whoever else is, kind of, I'll overcome that. But for people going in, you're like...
Yeah, a little bit.
It doesn't look like it's best well-run thing. Like,
there's a pause there. James Horan ruled himself out and said he'd spoken to the Mayo County Board chairman and said, don't even be linking my name to this.
Distant.
That's not what he said, really. You know, he was like, oh, it's a great job and somebody should get it, but not me. I would say, the behaviour of the county board and, like... You know, lads living in an industrial estate.
Bizarre.
You're like, and then everybody being defensive about it. Well, why shouldn't they live in an industrial estate if they want to? It's like, what? Okay.
It's your fault for talking about it.
We didn't bring it up.
So, I don't know. I suppose you look at the talent. Killian O'Connor is out training in Portugal and looks absolutely ripped.
Yeah.
So he's ready to come back and kick a bunch of two-pointers. They have successful underage teams over the last number of years. They have a latent support base who's just absolutely gagging for
there'll always be that kind of, I'll be the guy that'll get it done, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the United stuff in a sense, like, where it's like, I'll be the guy to fix things here. Like, yeah, it does have a bit of that about it.
Yeah.
In Mayo.
Who was the latest one off the... Anyway, good news for Aaron Connolly. It's a 2-year deal with Leighton Orient. He was the one that they chose to release their third jersey yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
At least it's not another 6-month kind of temporary thing where you feel like every single move he makes is going to be either trying to or failing to get a contract. So Leighton Orient have given him a 2-year deal. The manager there has said that he tried to sign him before, and Connolly was quoted as saying, as soon as he met the gaffer. The one difficulty with that is, right, you sign for the manager, 6 games in, Leighton Orient have won 1, drawn 2, lost 3
and
in a row.
He's relieved from his role.
Yeah, it's cutthroat at that level. But I don't think Richie Wellens is one of the managers who will be, like, they got into the playoffs last year, nearly went up, despite being favourites to go down.
Okay.
Start of season. So there's a bit of credit in the bank, 100%.
Eating bread, soon forgotten though, Matthew.
Still, 100%. Yeah.
Mikey Johnson's move to Brazilian Giants Flamengo is off. He is instead boarding a plane with West Brom to Austria for a pre-season training. A $5 million fee had been agreed, and apparently the fans turned against Mikey Johnson. He just needed someone to go on social media and cut some clips from dribbling.
Yeah. And he got some of his goals. I think he did 4 goals for West Brom last year, and 2 of them were like worldies, like, because he only kind of tends to do something crazy. You know, he's not like, if you're watching for 90 minutes, he might not fill you full of hope, but he'll pop something out of nowhere. Like, but yeah, the Flamengo fans didn't seem too happy with him. Would he have? They're out of Club World Cup now, aren't they? It's Fluminense, that are.
Yeah, no, it's down now to.
It's the 3 years.
PSG, Real,
Chelsea, and
Chelsea, and
Thiago Silva's Brazilian team.
Yes.
I think it's Fluminense.
Fluminense. This, despite the intervention of Robbie Keane, who was phoned up by a sports radio show in Brazil to ask about the quality of Mikey Johnson, and apparently he answered and gave him a ringing endorsement. I haven't seen the bit, but they're just like, here, let's just ring him.
What do you reckon? I'm interested to get in the mind of that. So if you put your mind, I suppose you one of those the production meeting for that show, how many Irish players do they know, firstly, or even ex-footballers, like, how what's the shortlist with Robbie Keane? Who else is on that?
Oh, that's a great question.
Do they know Roy Keane?
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, I think they probably know Roy. Yeah,
Robbie. Remember
that is?
what you call him, signed from Real Madrid, from Man United, and he was straight over.
Oh, yeah. It's a good show. He hadn't played a lot in Europe, though. Is that it? Is that the shortlist? Like, who's the next call down? Because Roy Keane's not going to do it, obviously.
Yeah.
So who's next?
The notoriety in the suburbs of South America, like.
Duff getting a call?
No.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe.
So.
Like, I mean, you
James
get,
Coleman?
Like John O'Shea, like a few United fans over in Brazil, maybe.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I don't know though.
Probably some Scott, who they think is Irish.
Yeah.
With an Irish sounding name,
Andy Robertson or something. Yeah,
it would have been because it is funny. I suppose we think it would have been so cool from our perspective, but we're almost putting the flip on it that there's just that still allure of Brazil. But I can sort of imagine from their perspective. Like, I don't imagine the idea of signing a winger from Ireland.
We were having a look yesterday in the office when they said the news had stalled, and we were like, I wonder who else, any other Irish players or Northern Irish players. There's actually one Northern Irish player out there at the minute. I won't put you on the spot with it. But do you remember Jamal Lewis? We played left back. I mean, Norwich came up that year himself, and Max Aarons are the two fullbacks. So he's over there at the minute. Apparently the only Irish or Northern Irish player to play.
Well, we should get him on. What is life like out there? What would Mikey Johnson have expected?
Yeah.
Time difference is a nightmare.
Yeah,
that would be interesting.
That's all that's holding it back. It would be interesting, to be fair.
It would have been a very interesting. I'm fascinated by how that comes about. I know it's probably age and stuff, but
I remember Dean Windass, son Josh Windass, very recently was linked with Corinthians because
they started to get money, be properly run, and not have to sell all their players.
The difference that his heated link is if he played with Rangers and their former manager was managing Corinthians, so there was actually a link there. Whereas Mikey Johnson thing just seems totally random. Like, I wonder who in there decided we should get this guy. Like,
yeah,
strange.
Apparently, Jamal Lewis just left Sao Paulo.
That's poor for me. I should have.
Sinner's Great Escape is the back of the I newspaper. I don't know if people were watching this last night, but Dimitrov was two sets up and tore a pec muscle while serving an ace to win a game. Literally crumpled in pain, went off the course, got some momentary treatment and came back out and was in tears. So Sinner survives. Sinner himself had some elbow issues, but all of the big dogs are through to the quarterfinals. Djokovic lost the first set and then romped home. So Cam Nori faces Alcaraz and has beaten him in the past. So obviously the British newspapers are like, yes, come on.
Media coverage.
Come on, Cam. I didn't realise Cam Nori's actually from New Zealand. United frustrated by Brentford's high Mbeumo valuation. They want the money. You've got the money, pay us. And you're like, oh no, we don't. We were going to be broke. Remember, we told everybody we were going to be broke. We've no money. But they do have the money because they just spent the money on Cunha, who has arrived for work.
Wearing number 10.
Cunha starts for United. Turned over his first day at work yesterday. And the weight of the £62.5 million transfer fee. Will the jersey be too heavy? No,
he's played. Nah, he'd probably be fine. I think it's a good. To be fair, they're making a balls of it, but it's a good strategy that they seem to be adopting by
get the best
moving
players.
Towards players that play in the league. It's it kind of reduces the, I suppose that your Anthony's.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. God.
Even your Sanchez's to a degree.
Sanchez's.
But it's been a disaster. And I see that they've told the five different lads, you don't have to turn up to work until the transfer window opens or whatever it is, until whatever, you know.
Is the window not open? Is that what? Is
well,
that
whatever. So whatever they're not there for the pre-season or pre-season start anyway. They've told you a bit more time.
Rashford, Garnacho, Sancho, Anthony, and Tyrell Malacia have all been told. Meh. Train, don't train, don't get injured.
Don't care.
Everything, do not get injured.
I thought Tyrell Malacia was kind of a good lad, but he's obviously, he's fallen in.
Only thing that would maybe question that is, I know him and Rashford were like best mates. Maybe there's something there, but I would have said the same. He just seemed like an interesting enough character, yeah. Remember he was gone for ages though. Remember he had that injury.
Yeah,
he was gone for nearly 2 years.
It's an interesting thing, kind of touching on the Mikey Johnson thing as well. Like, I do find it fascinated that they're kind of more or less told, go and sort yourself out, and figure out. Is that how these things are done? Is it kind of the representatives who are starting off an awful lot of these moves?
Yeah.
The club comes in at a later point?
Well,
because presumably it's not.
It's all It's all like a, hey, what's the fee? Will you agree to? And how does that work? And then if we can go, we go. And if we don't, we don't. It seems kind of mad from an economic...
It seems kind of cavalier. Yeah. It's just kind of like... there's the guts of... I don't know when you all add it up. I mean, probably approaching 600,000 to 900,000 pounds a week in wages between the five guys. All in, maybe a little bit less than that, all in. Yeah. It's just like, no, don't please don't turn up to work.
We don't want to see you.
Please do not come in.
It is incredible, isn't it? It is one of the more bizarre things about it. Like,
I just, I get it, but it's kind of at the same time, it does kind of feel like you're just going, well, just sort this out yourselves. Please just sort it. We're not going to sort it out. We can't do it. Please just go out of sight, out of mind. Maybe it'll fix itself. I don't know.
Eventually they leave on loan the last day of the season and they're still paying majority of their wages.
I do think that, like, telling everybody these lads are stinking the joint out diminishes your ability to sell them. I know you said,
I bring that back when there's five. Five is a fire sale.
Like,
five is not, one.
If you're interested in one of them, you're sitting on your hands going, how low will they go? Will they actually pay me to take some of the contract off? So this is a thing in American sports where you give the team that you're giving the player to some incentive to sign the player to suck up the wages. It's salary cap or salary dump, it's called. Mm. Like, if you're Barcelona looking at this and you want Rashford, you're like, I ain't giving you a penny.
Yeah.
I'm not giving you a penny. I mean, you can contribute half his wages for us and we'll take him on loan for two seasons for free. Like, why would you pay any money?
Yeah.
Whatever happens, we are not taking this player back under any circumstances, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
Typhus rips through the team and no one is available to play. We're playing the under sevens.
Yeah.
We are not playing Marcus Rashford, no matter what happens. Yeah. And everybody's like, you want me to pay 40 million for him?
It does incentivize, let's leave it right till the very last minute as well, and because they'll take whatever they can at the very end. We don't particularly need him right now. Like, nobody needs Marcus Rashford right now. Like, we'll just wait for a while, and not Rashford specifically, all them five characters. Yeah. If we're not going to play them, well, they're not going to play them now, they're not going to play them in 3, 4, 5 weeks' time. So we'll just wait till then and get him a bit cheaper.
Tip looked top, admits Corkboss. So Pat Ryan was doing his media day, the Cork various players, you'll start seeing that stuff filter through over the next few days. But he did say that he thought Tipperary were the better team. Bit of controversy at the end, and no hostages to fortune from Pat. Nothing that they can stick up on the dressing room wall in training in Thurles in advance of the final. Nine and Dandy McAvendy tells boys to forget striker search because Adam Ida is their man. Celtic are in action against Cork City tonight. Brendan Rodgers has been saying that he played Gaelic football and hurling in school, wasn't so good at the hurling. 30,000 tickets have been sold for that friendly tonight.
Oh.
And then that's on at 6.
Of a Tuesday at 6, yeah.
It's on at 6 so that you can make a dash across town to the marquee to watch Roy Keane.
Yeah.
Have an orgy of football tonight, if that is your thing. There's Roy Keane in conversation with Roddy Doyle last night at the marquee. I think it was Kieran Shannon said, or Dennis Walsh said, 12,000 tickets have been sold over three nights. 80 quid a pop. I know you're all great at maths, so that's 2 million gross.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
For three nights.
Wow. It's all in a three nights work, I suppose.
I wouldn't be terribly surprised if he's given a massive chunk of it to charity, by the way. Like, I haven't, so just in case it is all for something.
There is a huge amount,
and the level of interest is kind of insane.
He could take that show on the road.
Well, they do, don't they?
But he could.
Or just on his own without the lads.
Yeah. Absolutely. He does not need the lads.
the lads increasingly do need him.
Yeah.
Roy Keane it's even I saw, like, they had like a Roy Keane's best bits from 24-25 up recently.
Yeah.
It's just filling the churn of content. It's just he's irresistible.
Endless.
I didn't watch the Johnny Marr thing, but everybody's raving about it. And they're pals.
Yeah, it was class.
Keane and him are pals.
They go, they're talking about meeting together. Each other, walking the dogs.
Yeah, they come across each other. Go dog walking together, seems. But that was class. It was lovely. It was just very nice.
They're the better ones when they get a character like that on it.
Yeah.
I think it gets slightly repetitive outside of that. But,
it does. And it's a funny thing. It's a great point. Because I know they made a big deal of the fact they've 2 more years of it going, but
yeah,
good God, they've had the same conversation a fair few times at this point.
What do you mean 2 more years? As in they signed a deal?
Yeah, yeah, more or less. All the, well, the people that are working on it are tied down like for 2 more years.
Okay.
But it's...
Yeah, because you're always going to get a good couple of clips out of it, you know, that kind of way. So if you're just following the clips, it doesn't get repetitive because, you know, they'll obviously diversify that a bit, but the conversations itself, the hour, whatever, hour and a half long piece does tend to repeat itself every couple of episodes, regardless of guest, but them ones are good.
Up and Adam, Celtic legend backing Irish star Ida to be the main man. I mean, he is still quite young for a central striker. McAvaney's making the point that he didn't have a pre-season last year. I know, I play in the game, you're always on the back foot if you don't have a pre-season. So that was his introduction to European football proper last year, is an introduction to the goldfish bowl that is football in Glasgow. But you'd have to say it's been a great move for Ida. Like,
yeah,
playing regularly, and Celtic will always be winning. So fingers crossed he can continue developing. That's kind of our hope at the moment.
Yeah, I think so.
Still waiting to see what the Evan Ferguson scenario is going to be, offered to Roma during the week. So we'll see if anybody picks him up. All to play for. Lions boss Farrell insists test spots are still up for grabs. We're not sure about this though. I think that maybe the team has been formed in his head. As Quinny was saying yesterday, the Brumbies are the strongest of Australia's Super Rugby franchises. The fixture is being treated as a dry run for the first test on the 19th of July.
Not too quick a turnaround or anything, is it?
Well, I think if you're playing here, you get next weekend off, and then you play the following Saturday, which is obviously the test.
Yeah. Would make sense. Makes sense.
So it's come too soon for Owen Farrell, who only arrived on Friday night. One of my pals had seen Owen Farrell knocking about the Shelburne when they were all in Dublin.
Oh,
he was
really?
Obviously over for Sky to commentate.
Yeah.
But... you wouldn't have been terribly surprised if he was like just running through a few bits, would you? I mean, this makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, it feels like it'd have been kind of telegraphed from the out off, really.
He's way better than Marcus Smith. Who do you want coming on to kick a goal in the last minute of a third test or a second test? Do you want like Owen Farrell? I want Owen Farrell.
I like Owen Farrell a lot. Yeah,
8 months that the Farrell should be in the squad, but Finn Smith, he's fine. You know. Maybe you pick Finn Smith for the first one and then Owen Farrell comes in for the second one as your reserve 10. But if the main guy goes down, Owen Farrell straight in. Finn, we like your hustle. You're a good man to have on the bench.
Sorry to cut you.
You're a good guy.
That was what Ron Agaro was saying on Friday as well. It's like he's, what did he say, he's here for the show.
Mm.
Like he's not here for, it's like he's, it's kind of your... It's just I'm guilty as well of I didn't realise he was as young as he is.
Yeah.
He's only 33.
Yeah.
I know he's a lot of rugby played, but like Jesus, sure, if he's any kind of longevity like Sexton-esque, then yeah, you've got a few more years left in him. Yeah, keep an eye on him for New Zealand in 2029.
He does have way more rugby because he started so young.
Yeah, well, that's like, the thing. Yeah.
And Saracen Singh would be far more...
Did have a year off in Paris, basically, at the moment. So anyway.
He wasn't...
Anyway, yeah, okay. Sinner's lucky escape. Tearful Dimitrov forced to pull out through injury while leading the world number one by 2 sets. Dimitrov is 34, 35 and has, I think, had to pull out of his last 4 or 5 Grand Slams injured.
I read that as well, yeah.
England's the English women's football team, who had high hopes of winning the tournament, beaten 2-1 at the weekend by France, and now they're like, ah, look, it's just a bad day.
So yeah,
they might be about to crash out.
I think they have a bit against the Dutch, isn't it?
Yeah,
in a do or die game. Yeah,
sure.
If they lose, they're out.
Are quite good, I believe. The Dutch are quite good.
Yeah,
the Telegraph are concerned about planning regulations around Wimbledon. You know, as you would be. Farrell, earn your test place. This is the back of the London Times. Sinner through after Dimitrov suffers injury. And Norrie vows to keep the noise up. So I don't know if you saw this, but after he was beaten, the guy that Norrie beat in the last round, Nicholas Jarry, had a bit of a go at him for like being such a loudmouth or a grunter or a combination of both. And he kind of went at him. You know, normally those are like this kind of a totally emotionless handshake at the net. Well, your man went at him. and kept going at him like after the game, which you're not really, you know, it makes you look like a bad loser. And that was exactly what the press were like, oh, look at this bad loser complaining about our boy. But I don't know, it's a thing, right? They're going to notice it.
Yeah. I am gripped by I don't know if I'd never noticed it before, but how invested they get in the Wimbledon coverage. And maybe it's kind of understandable that it's their major and everything else, but it's the proportion of it compared to the rest of the year. It's just, it's, you go through the thing in the morning, you're having a look through the different apps, and it's like, it is everywhere. It's everywhere. It's so, like, it's like you it's so strange that it's like it just kind of drops off then.
Yeah, you could easily, the average person could easily go until this time next year before keeping up with the other British players and how they're getting on, like, you know. It's something else.
I do think the fact that Sky have now got a full time tennis channel actually would suggest that tennis is a big enough.
They might do. I'm not saying they don't, but do they have a full time tennis channel, or is that the channel that becomes cricket when Cricket World Cup is on and darts when the Darts World Championship is on? Because I know there's one of them channels that does just change the name.
Well, the American football one, obviously, is when the. I do
think they have a lot of tennis. I do think they're always showing it.
Okay, yeah, no, maybe they do. Maybe they
but do. I don't think it's necessarily the highest production value.
Yeah, okay. It's just on.
It's a feed a lot of the time, and whatever bit around it, but it's not getting full studio treatment or anything like that. But it is interesting, I don't know. But how many people could be watching that of a week?
I mean, obviously, the numbers are comparatively small, but you forget that, there's 60 million people living in the UK, so all you need is 250,000 of them to be very invested paying their subscription for that, and it's like, oh, that makes sense. Gaelic football, we're going to talk a bit about this. Nicky English, we'll hope to get to in just a moment or two. Football has been utterly transformed, it's Conor McManus's column today, and he makes a very good point. Imagine if the FRC had needed to go back to Congress with motions for every idea they wanted to try out and remove. The process would have been endless. There's definitely something in the template that they used to fix football. He's complaining too at the moment, as a lot of people are, about the taking the free back out from if you fouled inside the arc and being able to kick for 2 points. I think that you just leave it. Because you can bring that foul out, people are fouling less and the forwards are getting more space and the tackle is cleaner than it would be. So, it's working. I think I would just leave it. I would also try and go back to the format that we had this year with the group stages, where the football was great and there were more games. And if the football was great and there were more games, more people would go next season.
It's mad. It's mad that that's been changed.
That they didn't just wait until the end of the season to go, how did it work this year?
It's equally as mad how the rhetoric around has changed from this time last year, where everyone, like, I think the most used word in Irish media and local life was Jeopardy.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, well, like, we got a bit of Jeopardy, but the football was class. Like, and I couldn't agree more with it. Like,
there was loads of Jeopardy.
Yeah. No, there was.
That killed everybody.
Yeah. I think it is mad that they're going to change it next year. It's very,
it's bonkers.
Yeah.
One of the things that's also being spoken about is seeding for the Munster Football Championship. The Limerick manager, Jimmy Lees, has been doing media ahead of the Talton Cup final this weekend. Let's have a listen.
Sir, looking at seeding the Senior Football Championship again next year, the Provincial Championship, having Cork and Kerry on opposite sides. What's your read on that and how do you see that?
I suppose my own personal view would be that I suppose they've been in the Munster final this year. They have been for the last few years. My own personal belief is that if it's not broken, why would you go about repairing it? It's never been done this way. If it was being done across the four provinces, I'd say fine.
You mean allowing them to seed it?
Yeah, you know what I mean. But to be fair to Clare, they have earned the right to be there, in my view. And if you earn the right to be there, you should be there. In my head, that's like, we are a Division 4 team. Have we earned the right to be in the Celtic Cup? Yes, we have. Do you know what I mean? So, like, you have turned the right, in my head, to be in these places.
Okay, so looking into next year and building the team and keeping the momentum going, would you see it as a negative that they're seeding it next year?
I would next year, because no one knew about it. So, like, the effort that Clare would have put in, just picking Clare because they have this example, and they would be the ones probably losing out. I don't think it's right to do it that way, you know, but that's just my belief. You know, I do believe that you have to work hard, and fair enough, you see what the seasons are like, but if they decide to do it in 2 or 3 years' time, everyone will have known that this is the journey. It gives us all a chance to get into that season.
So if Limerick earn their way up to Division 2 and Cork or maybe slip back down, or like vice versa with Clare, they've earned the right to be there.
Correct, absolutely. Like, but you, in my head, you just can't do it instantly.
I do think they should seed it on the basis of league positions, and giving everybody one season warning might be the fairest way to do it.
Mm. Why would you seed it?
Because automatically a team who reaches the final is now through to the group stages of Sam Maguire, and that is on the basis of maybe beating two Division 4 teams. If you get Waterford and Tip, you beat two Division 4 teams, you're in against the Division 1 teams in the All-Ireland series, when actually you're a Tailteann Cup team. Like, would it benefit Clare more to be in a Tailteann Cup final and win in a Tailteann Cup than actually going through? They put up some good performances in Sam Maguire this year, but they are a Tailteann Cup team.
So would you do it across all four provinces?
I was going to say that, yeah.
Well, I would do it certainly in Leinster and Connacht. Wouldn't bother in Ulster because they're all Division 1 teams, essentially.
So what, this year in Ulster, Donegal played
Armagh.
In a prelim, and Antrim were a step ahead.
Yeah.
Just seed that so that Antrim have to play for Manor, let's say. For
argument's sake. I don't know. I don't.
I think it would help to make those end bits of the league even more interesting. But they make the draw a year and a half in advance.
There's that, which is strange. But like, does it not just keep the top on top and below below? Like, it's not a case of like, okay, it's very unlikely that Limerick or even Sligo or Leitrim, wherever, win a provincial championship. But if you're going to tell them every single year that unless
you beat Cork or Kerry, you're not able to make
unless
it. That's fair enough.
Well, like, but why do you have a divine right to be there? Like, I don't,
because you're a better team over the course of the league.
That'll show out, though. But you, like, I don't think you can.
You'd have to be Cork and Kerry.
Sorry,
yeah, you would have to be Cork and Kerry.
If there's no connection between the Munster Championship and the All Ireland Series,
yeah,
no problems. Open draw, go for it. But because you get this divine right to play in Sam Maguire if you reach the final.
But your issue, it wouldn't have even been really resolved. It wouldn't have gone. So you'd have had, even if it was seeded and everything went as planned, it would be Kerry and Cork. But Kerry and Cork are already in there, so you're going to have a third team come up anyway.
No, you don't. You don't automatically have a third team come up.
But who's going to take the spot that's fake?
That whoever's in the league.
It would have been.
That's what I mean. So it's probably going to be Division 3 team.
It would have been awfully this year, I assume.
So like, what, you know what I mean? So it doesn't really. There's still going to be teams in there that are not of that level.
Clare or Limerick could get their place guaranteed in Sam Maguire through the league, which would be a fairer. Like,
yeah, but they can do that anyway.
I suppose they can, right? It's just that here it's like essentially the easiest path that anybody has to Sam Maguire football, and the team isn't necessarily ready for it. Now, if they come up through the league and they're the 16th best team, fair enough, you're ready for it. Well, and then the provincial championship is a free shot.
I think we're all, well, I don't know if we're all, I won't say that. I think we're probably in agreement that the best case scenario is the top two divisions go in, and that's the way it is. So the true top 16 go in, that's fine. But I just think by virtue of the fact, okay, if you seed it, you're making it more difficult for certain counties, and that's whatever, that's fine. But I still think it's actually going to come up in the same way. You're still not going to have the top 16 teams guaranteed in there, if you know what I mean. You're still going to have outliers, as you're saying, like Offaly will be in there, who aren't. It's still going to happen just by virtue of the fact that the two teams in the Connacht final.
This year would have been Kildare, but I'm fairly sure.
No, it'll Offaly be Kildare in the final of the league.
Yeah, okay.
But because you're going to have, like, more often than not, like, it'll be Galway, Mayo or Roscommon.
Who came down from Division 2?
Westmead and Down. I think you take. I think,
so it would have been West.
I think win the league, take precedence.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
I think. I don't know. That's like. I think it is. Yeah.
That's my only thing. I think it actually still leaves you in a position where you're still.
I don't think it's ever going to be perfect, but I do think there is a bit of an issue there that, like, Clare probably weren't in there on merit.
Why don't you want to see the best teams play each other in the biggest games?
No, you do, but I still don't think it's not going to. I like so. Kerry and Cork met this year. In a semi-final, right? And then the final is a bit of a formality.
Mm.
But, I mean, on the basis of history...
Who benefit
there,
from that?
Well, I mean, so... But what's the benefit then? Is the benefit purely monetary? That the Munster Council want to have Kerry Cork in the final every year because they'll get to put it on in Páirc Uí Chaoimh or for Sheryl Stadium and it'll be...
Well, they can do that anyway whenever they play because everybody knows it's the de facto final.
Yeah, so what's the problem then?
The problem is that you end up with teams who aren't good enough to play in the big games, reaching the big games. They're not ready for this.
But my point is that just by the sheer nature of the structure of the thing, that'll still happen if you do this.
Perhaps, but how does the current situation help them? How did it benefit that Clare team to get to run into the juggernaut in the way that they did, where no one's interested in the game and the players know that it's a lost cause?
Yeah, I get you. I do get you. But like, I feel like for as long as we're going to maintain the provincial structure,
well, that's
these games are going to happen, and I don't necessarily think that stacking them even more so against the weaker counties is necessarily a kind of a... I don't think it's in the spirit of the thing, to be honest with you. That's my kind of feel for it. I don't think it's how we should be trying to do it.
The spirit of the thing is that the little guy gets hammered in the final.
Yeah,
but sometimes they don't, you know, like it doesn't have to happen that way. And I know what you're saying. I do appreciate it, but like it's kind of it feels so money driven. It feels so kind of
actually think it is money driven
in the thing. It's because you always want I don't know, you're not going to do in Connacht, but like I'm sure they'll look at the Connacht situation where it's like almost every other year it's either McHale Park or Pearse Stadium. It's Galway Mayo. It's amazing. It's huge colour. It's massive interest. And they're like, okay, we want Kerry and Cork that every single year. Feck the rest of them. We don't want any of the rest of them. They're only getting in the way.
Well, I mean,
because you play, because of the knock-on effect as well of Kerry Cork, like the way it had to be done, it was done on a terribly wet Saturday evening, wasn't it? Like it was a horrible game.
The Clare footballers should have the Cork footballers in their sights at the moment, and as a county board, they should be like, "That's we're gonna beat them, and we're gonna get used to beating them at all levels, and we're gonna make sure that we're the second best team, and then we're the team that's seeded."
Yeah,
and then Cork Kerry is the first one. Like,
I would say that the gap between Clare and Cork is not too dissimilar to the gap between Cork and Kerry at the minute. So, I think you're right in that they probably will be targeting them in reaching them. But I would wonder if some issue will be raised with them just seeding the Munster Championship and not the rest. Although I would understand why they'd do it, because it's the one championship that is incredibly kind of...
Yeah,
if you don't get Cork in the final at the minute, it's, and even still,
Kerry won
Kerry
can
still hockey
times,
Cork in the final in the same way they hockey Clare, like, you know, the way things are.
I think seedings would be interesting. It's like, you know, you probably would need to do it across the country and just say this is what we are now. But
probably out of fairness, but you'll never get that either.
No,
it'll never be fair.